Hi, my name's Nat, and this is The Weekly Snapshot, your weekly dose of Asian tech and startup news. Quite a bit happened last week, so here are the top stories. Chinese online travel major Ctrip is reportedly in talks with potential investors about funding its delisting from Nasdaq amid escalating tensions between China and the US. The company, which is operated by the Trip.com group, was badly hit by COVID-19. It announced in March that it was suspending operations and terminating employment contracts, and later reported a $754 million net loss and a 42% decrease in net revenue in the first quarter of this year, compared to the same period in 2019. The company is also expecting to see a 67 to 77% year-on-year decrease in net revenue in Q2 2020. Ctrip declined to comment on the matter, but sources say that the discussions are still at an early stage. Interestingly, the report came in the wake of tightening regulations for US-listed Chinese companies following the Luckin Coffee fiasco. Gudang Ada, a marketplace for FMCG wholesalers and retailers in Indonesia, has laid off at least 25 employees, according to a LinkedIn post by a former human resource staff at the company. The post contains a document with details of the affected employees, including their email addresses, phone numbers, and links to their LinkedIn profiles to help them find new opportunities. According to a Gudang Ada representative, the layoff was purely due to individual performance issues such as performance gap or a skill set misfit given its current focus. As recently as last month, the startup was still actively looking for offline salespeople in more than a dozen cities in Indonesia. Gudang Ada made the headlines earlier this year when it raised more than $35 million over two investment rounds in only 2 months. Despite having only started at the end of 2018, it claimed to have already processed $1 billion in transactions in the past 12 months, even with COVID-19 sweeping across the country. The company also says that it has acquired 80,000 big retailers and almost all of the 20,000 FMCG wholesalers in Indonesia. US-based ride-hailing giant Uber said it is keeping its Asia-Pacific headquarters in Singapore, at least until December 2022. The statement comes 2 months after it announced that it was shutting down its office in the city-state amid COVID-19. In May, the company said it would relocate its Asia-Pacific hub to Hong Kong if the government there provides a regulatory framework that would legalize its operations in the country. As of this moment, it's still deemed illegal for Uber drivers to carry passengers in the city without a hire car permit. The company has also faced resistance from the local taxi industry. Despite that, Uber is, quote, by no means quitting the Hong Kong market and says it still needs to have an open dialogue with the government. It seems Uber will continue to fight to move its regional headquarters to the city, even though the local government has been giving the firm the, quote, cold shoulder. In other car-related news, electric vehicle firm Tesla Motors is looking for a country manager in Singapore to lead its sales operations, help bring Tesla to market in volume, and streamline the company's retail presence across the country. The US-based company is also looking for a Tesla advisor who will be tasked with supporting customers through their purchasing journey. Tesla also posted at least 6 other positions focused on service, such as service advisor, service manager, and store leader. Earlier this year, Singapore's finance minister, Heng Swee Keat, said the country aims to phase out internal combustion engine vehicles and have vehicles run on cleaner energy by 2040. Tesla entering Singapore would help the country reach this goal faster, since it already has a number of road-ready vehicles for sale. However, CEO Elon Musk previously said that the Singapore government was unsupportive of electric vehicles. His remark was dismissed by the city-state's Minister for Water and Environment Resources, Masagos Zulkifli, who said that what the company really wants to produce is a quote-unquote lifestyle. He added, quote, "We are not interested in a lifestyle. We are interested in proper solutions that will address climate problems." I don't know about you, but that is some shade. And speaking of shade, Alibaba-owned map app AutoNavi is bringing umbrella sharing back to China. Umbrella sharing was a pretty hot industry in China where the sharing economy really took off over the last few years. But it didn't last because of, well, people. One company reported that it lost most of its 300,000 umbrellas mere weeks into its rental operations. If any of you listening are hoarding one of these umbrellas at home, you're the reason we can't have nice things. AutoNavi announced on its Weibo account that its first batch of shared umbrellas are now available in select cities across the country. In case of sudden showers, users of the platform's ride-hailing service will be able to get an umbrella from their drivers for free. But while AutoNavi did tell users to return the umbrellas the next time they take a ride, it didn't explain how it plans to retrieve them from forgetful passengers or thieves. My suggestion? Try going swiper no swipey. Maybe that'll work. Okie dokes, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll run through the funding news of the week, so stay tuned. If you like our content, you're probably also going to like Starting to Know Business, a podcast by Ishu Singh that's all about exploring the unexplored depths of the business world, because there is always something new to learn. So if you want to learn about marketing, branding, growth, and more, whether you're just starting out your entrepreneurship journey or running a scaling company, subscribe to Starting to Know Business wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to the show. All right, let's dive right in. OYO founder and CEO Ritesh Agarwal has set up a new VC firm to invest in growth stage businesses in the consumer, technology, and leisure infrastructure sectors. His company, called Aroa Ventures, will invest between $500,000 and $5 million in startups with proven unit economics, a year-on-year growth rate of 20%, and between $1 million to $10 million in annual revenue. In addition to funding, it also aims to seek partnerships with entrepreneurs to help build long-lasting businesses and connect them to its network. Indonesian travel unicorn Traveloka announced last week that it had raised $250 million in a funding round led by a global financial institution and existing investors. The new capital injection will go to further strengthening the startup's balance sheet and boost efforts to deepen its offerings in select priority areas, including building a travel and lifestyle portfolio in key markets, as well as expanding its financial services solutions. The company was badly hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. It saw daily requests for refunds and booking rescheduling increase by as much as 10 times since February. It was also reported that the company cut 100 employees, or 10% of its workforce, in April amid the pandemic. But it's seeing a, quote, encouraging recovery across all of its key markets in domestic, short-distance travel, and activities bookings. Its business in Vietnam, for example, is approaching pre-COVID-19 levels, while its Thailand unit is on its way to surpass 50%. Although Indonesia and Malaysia are still in the early stage of recovery, Traveloka said they are making week-to-week improvements, especially in the accommodation segment, as demand for shorter distance staycations emerges. Thailand's LINEMAN, the on-demand assistant platform of messaging app LINE, said it has reached an agreement to receive $110 million in investment from growth capital firm BRV Capital Management. According to LINE, this is the first time one of its entities overseas has secured an investment of this size. The deal comes as LINEMAN inked a merger with Wong Nai Media, a restaurant review and discovery platform in Thailand. According to a statement from LINE, the capital investment aims to strengthen the newly merged entity and expand its development in the country. Jaden Kang, former chief strategy officer at LINE Thailand, said last year that the company aims to extend its reach into 17 more regions in the country in the coming years, adding that LINEMAN would continue to focus on the local market rather than expanding overseas. Singapore-based robo-advisor Stashaway said it has raised $16 million in a Series C round led by Australian VC major Square Peg. Hubert Berda Media's growth capital arm Berda Principal Investments and existing investor 8 Roads Ventures also participated in the round, according to a statement. According to Stashaway co-founder and CEO Michelle Ferrario, the startup plans to use the new funds to speed up product development and enhance the capabilities of its platform. He declined to disclose any specific features that the startup would work on, but Ferrario said that Stashaway looks to carry on the momentum it has gained over the past year to integrate new investment products and features to its app. He also said that the startup has a few country launches in the pipeline at the moment, but didn't say where in particular. Hong Kong-based fintech startup EMQ closed a $20 million Series B funding round led by global early to growth stage-focused VC firm WI Harper Group. A slew of new and existing investors, including Abu Dhabi Capital, AppWorks, DG Ventures, Hard Yakka, Intudo Ventures, January Capital, Quest Venture Partners, Spark Labs Taipei, Vector Fintech Partners, and VS Partners also participated in the round, which sounds to me like a hell of a lot of investors. Max Liu, co-founder and CEO of EMQ, told us that while most of its volume comes from consumer remittances, the company plans to ramp up its business remittances segment globally. With that, the startup looks to use the new funds to bolster its cross-border solutions and compliance capabilities. He also noted that recently, the company has ramped up its network across Asia, Africa, and Europe, and is now expanding across the Americas. But the company expects China and Southeast Asia to be its biggest markets for business transactions. All right. That's all the time I got for this week, but of course there's so much more that happened last week that we didn't cover. So if you want access to unlimited news reports on the Asian tech and startup scene, head over to techin.asia/sub and you can read to your heart's content. But what did you think of today's episode? Or if you don't want to talk about that, how are you doing? You've got to check in on yourself every now and then. The world's in a crazy place, and there's no sense in being crazy while dealing with all the crazy. You know what I mean? Anyway, drop me a message. I'm at podcast@techinasia.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Till next time, my name's Nat. Have a great week ahead.